Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with our very special guest, Board of Trustee member, Barry Fenchek. Barry, how you doing, my friend?
I am doing great, Jim. When someone calls me a special guest and the sun's out, it doesn't get any better than that.
I should have said very special guest, actually.
I was going to mention that.
Okay. Well, let's get past that, Barry. By the way, anything exciting happening with the board this past week?
Let's see. I think, you know, we scheduled a dinner for later this summer. And, I think there was some talk about whether or not we should all wear the same color jacket to the meet. Oh, you're talking about Beaver Stadium. I got you. I'm sorry. I had a little slow today. It's been a busy week, Jeff.
I'll bet it has been. And I'll tell you what, Barry, everyone's talking about it. A lot of excitement both ways, okay? A lot of people very supportive. A lot of people feel the other way. What I'd like to do is get some clarification from you. And now, we don't have you just for one segment. We're going to have you for the entire show. So we could go through the whole process. I've talked to a lot of people with a lot of questions. I've got a lot of questions. If you don't mind, I would like to start at the beginning with how this process works. So a couple years ago, at least, when this conversation started, well, first of all, how exactly does it start? Who says, you know, I think we need to do something with Beaver Stadium? Who are the players? Who initiates this kind of thing?
Boy, Jim, you started off right in the wood chipper with that question. I thought we'd start with something fun. So a year and a half ago, close to 2 years ago, maybe now, shortly after I joined the board, this idea came down about doing this major renovation to Beaver Stadium. Now, the question you just asked, that's the question I asked. Is why, where, how, where's this coming from? Is this ICA that's presenting this and wants us to consider it? Is this coming from the board? And boy, like I said, this is kind of a wood chipper of a question. I couldn't get an answer. To this day, I have not gotten an answer. And we could talk about that at length. The Cliff Notes version of it is, I mean, I don't know how else to describe it that would be honest and fair, that it seemed to fall out of the ether as a bastard child with no provenance and nobody claiming ownership, and essentially from that day forward being a fait accompli that this is what we would do. And I've been asking that question for a year and a half, and it's really never been answered, to be honest with you. I wish I could say differently because it sounds a little bit crazy, but that's the truth.
That it does sound crazy, Barry. You'd think like at the core of this, at least, is okay. What drove this solution to? Is it a real problem even now? I think, and I'll ask you what your take on this is, but I believe that there is at least the requirement for some upkeep being done to the stadium. Like, it needs to be winterized. It needs to be capable of hosting a potential playoff game in December, for example.
Yeah. Oh, I think everybody on the board and probably every fan, well, if every fan took a close look around when they were in Beaver Stadium, realizes there are things that need to be polished up, to be maintained, quite frankly, for several years. And especially, you know, if you follow the budgets and what the board does, and the maintenance of the stadium was subpar. Okay. A lot of things were let, I don't want to say go to seed, but that's the phrase people use, right? A lot of things were overlooked. Why they were overlooked for so long. You know, we have a heck of a lot of revenue that comes into Penn State Athletics. And every year for many years, all the money would be spent and with very, very little going towards maintenance of the stadium. And at the end of the year, it's like, well, okay, all the money's gone. And we never took care of keeping the roof on the house from leaking, right? The basic stuff. We spent money on everything else, and it was all gone. It wasn't being put aside for a rainy day. It was gone. And so you had this large buildup of things at the stadium that really went to seed to a large degree. So I think everybody, you know, certainly at the board, people I talk to agrees that, yeah, that needs to be taken care of. We need to catch up. We need to do it yesterday. If not yesterday, then today, to get the maintenance taken care of so things don't further degrade. And that would probably cost us about $100 million, okay, from the things that I've looked at. You know, typically we would do those things over time, right? Spend $10 million this year, $12 million the other year, $8 million that year. It would come out of the operating budget, but we didn't do that. So now we have this large backlog, and that needs to be addressed, certainly. I think we would all agree that something fairly substantial needed to be done to keep Penn State in good working order. Whether it was this project that fell from the heavens, I you know, that's debatable, but we needed to do something, no question.
Well, let's start with that basic operation, which is just to keep it safe, to keep it able to be winterized, where if we wanted to get that hockey game, and I have listeners who are waiting for that Penguins versus Flyers game to be at Beaver Stadium. And I'm waiting for that home playoff game. What would it take to just do those basic things, Barry?
There are probably, and that's a very interesting question. And I just kind of taking a look down at some of my notes on the stadium here. But initially, the board was told that there was, I think the first number that came out, over $200 million in deferred maintenance that needed to be taken care of. Later told over $300 million in deferred maintenance. And that's an awfully big number. So I asked, because I wanted to see, what is it that we need to do, right? Let's look at that breakdown of where all that money is needed. Because, I mean, that's enough to build, you know, a 50,000-seat stadium from the ground up. And I made repeated requests to see that information, right, where that figure was coming from. After a lot of denials of that request, I finally did see a list provided to me that ended up saying at the bottom $300 million. But the things on that list, they weren't deferred maintenance, right? They were things like, you know, I believe one of them was a $60 million expenditure for a new beer garden, right? It's like the plans for a beer garden type of an atmosphere outside the stadium. Well, that's not deferred maintenance. There was actually about $100 million plus or minus rounding error of deferred maintenance on the stadium. And that, honestly, that makes sense. If we typically were spending $10 or $15 million a year to keep it up, and we let some of that slip, one could easily see that we could have gotten to a point where it would have cost us $100 million to get everything back up to speed. And, you know, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but that's the ballpark.
You know,
now that is basically keeping the stadium more or less the way it's operating now, but in good condition, right? Everything's in good condition and well-maintained.
Well, I find it interesting that you say the beer garden is not a necessity. I can't tell you the number of times I've showed up at the Beaver Stadium, and you know there's no beer at my tailgate, okay? So,
well, it depends which hat we're wearing, right? If I'm wearing my fan hat, then there are a lot of things that I see as necessities that, as a trustee responsible for being fiduciarily sound and exercising some prudence, I have to, you know, I love the idea, right? But I have to say that's maybe not a necessity per se.
Well, let's go back to this whole process. So we don't know where the idea came from, just came from the heavens. But then now, once it's planted, how does the idea go from, hey, here are things we need, and let's accept $100 million because for whatever reason, whoever was responsible or irresponsible and was not getting these things done the last 10 years, we now need them done. How did that morph into, wait a minute, I've got an idea. Let's spend $700 million in making it, you know, a complete huge renovation, which, by the way, is going to be essentially the west side of the stadium.
Yeah. I think I used the term fait accompli earlier. And this is very interesting. The first part of this that came to the board was that we were asked to approve of $70 million to winterize the stadium, which we were told would cost about $30 million, and $40 million to do studies on what our options might be to consider, right? Renovations, build a new stadium, what have you. Now, some people may be less familiar. I mean, I used to be an engineer. I did projects and capital projects, and I know the numbers. And immediately I said, that doesn't sound truthful. $30 million to winterize a stadium without knowing exactly how many linear feet of piping are in there, that doesn't sound right. And $40 million for somebody to do an outside study to tell us, here's what your options are, that sounds crazy. And I raised the issue at the time. I was the only one who voted against that $70 million. And I did it because, as I said at the meeting at that time, this does not sound like funding for winterization and a study. This sounds like the first step towards a renovation project, a $700 million renovation project that has already been predetermined as the outcome. Now, I caught the devil. Right? No, that's not the case. You're wrong. You're this is absolutely what it's for. It's only for winterization and doing the study. It's not going to be used to start some predetermined outcome. Well, what we saw was most of that $70 million was spent doing renovations well before the board ever approved of. And that's wrong.
So there were actual renovations that were not approved by the board that happened?
The $70 million was stated to go towards winterization, $30 million, roughly, and $40 million for the studies, roughly. The money was spent, as if you come up near the stadium, doing the work on the deck expansions and things like that that are part of the renovation, which we had never voted on. We had never deliberated on, and they were already doing it, had the bids let out. If you watched the meeting the other day, I asked that question right up front. I said, these because I've seen the stadium, so I knew what was going on. I said, have these bids all been signed and done? And the answer was yes, but it was, you know, within that $70 million that we approved. But that's not what we approved it for, which pretty much tells us what? That was a fait accompli from the get-go, that that's where we're going.
I have more questions on that point when we get back, Barry. Stay tuned.
We all understand the importance of physical health. F45 State College takes the guesswork out. Designed to burn fat and build lean muscle, focusing on strength training, mobility, core work, and agility. With over 50 branded workouts and thousands of exercises in our library, you would never do the same workout twice. Improve your day-to-day lifestyle and make the current activities you already do much easier and more efficient. Whether you're a weekend warrior on the pickleball courts or golf course, or maybe it's just finding it easier to move and enjoy playing with your kids, F45 is for you. Regardless of age or current physical condition, F45 tailors the workout to you. Current and former athletes, teenagers to retirees, and everyone in between. Their team of certified coaches is there to guide you every step of the way.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with my very special guest, Barry Fencheck, member of the Board of Trustees. We are talking about the recent decision to put $700 million into a renovation of Beaver Stadium. And when we left off, Barry, we were talking about that initial $70 million, which was voted for last year at some point. And you were talking about that they said it would be about $30 million of it for winterizing, and $40 million of it for a study of the options. I want to get into that business. $40 million for a study. I could get you a lot of studying done for $40 million, Barry.
Indeed. And as I said, you know, I think we spent the winterization, ended up coming in about at the number that I figured it would, which was much, much less than 30. Okay. The study, while the $40 million is a figure that just about anybody would say, what? For what? And it was, you know, significantly lower than that, but still more than I would have expected, to be quite honest with you. But no, that full $70 million certainly didn't go towards those two items. Again, you know, that's a problem. I know people don't want to get into the weeds and the details of governance and how things are done and responsibilities and, you know, roles as fiduciaries, but that's not right.
Well, okay, you expressed that there's some other things are done, like some construction work, which was which is things that will precede this larger renovation. Mm-hmm. So, but the board did not vote on that. No. So how does that happen? Is there not a line item contract that says, here's what you're contracted to do for $70 million. And wait a minute, nowhere on here does it say you're supposed to start, you know, digging.
Yeah. If anyone watched the meeting, and it went on for about an hour and a half, and you know, my first comment was to ask the Penn State administration. There were 21 projects on the OPP website, which people can go look at. 21 projects that had been bid out and awarded for work on Beaver Stadium. And of course, I knew this before I asked the question, but most of those were for things that weren't winterization. Okay. And I just confirmed with them that yes, indeed, those projects had been bid out, they'd been paid, that work was being done, which anyone who drove by the stadium in the last month or so knew. But I wanted to make sure that was clearly on the record.
Well, let's move forward now. I was talking to you about the process, where this begins, where's the seed, the idea to get this started. I think we could all agree that there were things, maintenance type things, that needed to be done, especially the winterization. Now, how did that get changed, Barry, from, well, we got to take care of that, to, well, let's do a study and see if we should spend $700 million on a renovation or some other amount on a new stadium? Where did that come from?
I don't know. I mean, we can assume there would only be certain places that could come from. But again, I mean, and I've asked the question, believe me, I've asked the question and, you know, haven't gotten any answers. So, you know, except for very vague, well, you know, it's an idea, it's been kicked around. Okay. You know, I kick ideas around all the time, but there shouldn't be some idea that gets kicked around at some level certainly not with the full board. I know that, right? I know the full board never deliberated about that before this, you know, issue kind of came down as a, this is what we're going to do. And to this day, we have not. To this day, the board has not looked at those different options. There was a little slide that was put up during the presentation that said, you know, here's option A, here's option B, here's option C. Here's option A, we renovate, we maintain the stadium, keep it in good working order. And it had a bottom line figure of, well, this will cost us X number of millions of dollars. Option C of building a new stadium would cost us, you know, net $1 billion. And option B, the one in the middle, I'm not sure whether I used A, B, and C there, but the one in the middle, this renovation, and in particular, this specific renovation for $700 million, would break even, right? And so, and that's, now we got more information as we moved along about that $700 million option. But the information we got about the other two, I mean, whatever I could dig up on my own, right? Not from Penn, but no, we never got. In fact, there were other proposals that we know now were put forward that, at least on this, and I've looked them over, that might have been much, much more fiscally responsible. And there are pluses and minuses, right? But this proposal was apparently out there for 2 years. I heard about it last week. And it's not because nobody told me. I was asking. I was begging, I was pleading, what is out there? What studies have we seen? What, you know, because we know during Sandy Barber's tenure, she was always paying for a study or something. So, you know, I figured there'd be some of these things out there. And I would ask, and now we don't have anything. If I said, well, check the master plan. Well, the master plan from Sandy Barber's day didn't address Beaver Stadium. And then they said, you know, check this other study. Well, then I said, well, didn't ICON, I think it was ICON, I said, didn't they do a study a while back? Oh, yes, they did. But that's old, not a date, not relevant to what we're talking about. But then as more people pushed for information, they trotted out that study that they told me was irrelevant and said, oh, here's a study that was done.
And what was in that study?
That study basically said that that one was looking primarily at building a new stadium or renovating the whole thing. So it was not directly related to what we're doing. But there was some very good information in there. It's a couple hundred pages. Most of it was fluff. I spent quite a bit of time on it. You could pull out some good information. The bottom line is they said, you know, long term, you're going to spend about the same amount renovating versus building a new one. And, you know, given that, you might generate more revenue from a new one rather than a full renovation. Now, that was talking about renovating the whole stadium, right? So, but that was the gist of it, you know, without getting into any of the details. But, you know, within there, there was some very relevant information, things on the marketing demographics for how many suites one might sell and you know, things like that. Again, not getting into details because that's somebody else's work product, but just in very broad terms, yeah, there's always some information you can pull, even if it's not directly, you know, 100% what you're looking at.
Okay. So I think one of the valid points here is this was not the board initiating, hey, let's go examine our options. It was the athletic department, folks within the university, they were doing all of this.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people on the board that would like to, you know, have looked at those options, that wanted to look at those options, that felt we should do something with Beaver Stadium. I certainly think there were a lot of folks who felt that way and who still feel that way. But this settling on this particular option, certainly who was involved, I don't know, but it certainly was not the full board.
One of my concerns, and it sounds like it's yours also, I've heard talk prior to any of these decisions made that folks saying, we're staying at Beaver Stadium no matter what. You know, it's tradition. It's Beaver Stadium. We're not going to move out of it. That creates my concern that other options weren't given a full investigation. For example, word was maybe a year ago or so, oh, a new stadium would be $1.5 billion. Now in this paperwork for this presentation, a new stadium would be $2 billion, which just seems to enhance making the renovation the more attractive way to do it. So is my concern valid?
Yes. Yeah, good question. I mean, you know, this topic, you know, has come up and, you know, what you saw on the slide, which was, well, this option of building a new stadium, I'm not saying building a new stadium is the right thing to do. Okay. Oh, this option would just cost too much, so we're not considering it. Well, no. I mean, for crying out, we paid $20 million for a study, supposedly, or $40 million, whatever they said it was. Now, I know, you know, it may not have actually been that much. You know, somebody could do a little analysis on that. You know, I had a conversation at one of the meetings, and, you know, I was raising questions that this is, you know, what we – this is, you know, many months ago. And, you know, that we need to consider what all the options are. And one of the, as I was speaking at the meeting, one of the trustees broke in and said, enough of this. We know what we're going to do. And I turned to this trustee and said, we do? Without having any information, we know what we're going to do. And that was that. And the meeting moves on. And I wish it weren't so, but it's so.
Well, you know, let's this new stadium option when I was told $700 million would take care of just the west side of the stadium. Now, I'm aware there's a little bit more going on that will affect the whole stadium. Again, the winterizing, the upgraded concourses, and so on. But you're still really just doing, you know, a quarter of the stadium or a third of the stadium at a cost of $700 million. Now, as an example, you and I had this conversation previously. For example, South Florida is building an entirely new stadium, and the estimated cost of that is $350 million. Now, to be fair, it's not a 100,000-seat stadium. Yes. It's a 35,000-seat stadium. Doing my math, that's $10,000 per seat. So if you extrapolate to a 100,000-seat stadium, that would be $1 billion, not $2 billion. And by the way, shouldn't you have more of an economy of scale?
Yes.
If you're building a larger stadium? And from what I see, there's going to be luxury boxes, that type of thing. And it's a brand new stadium. So I question, did we only go to one place and get a $2 billion quote for a new stadium?
I don't think we did that. I have no evidence to indicate that we did that. I think someone said $2 billion, maybe three. And that's what became the and that was it. I have seen nothing more than that, than someone saying, oh, it would be cost too much. And maybe, again, maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. But no, that's, and you know, I'm on the board. So if that discussion happened, I should have known about it. No, that's, I don't think there was any discussion aside from with the board, no discussion aside from, well, that would just cost a crazy amount of money. Well, you know, and you can look at, you know, what they did in Las Vegas and say, yeah, well, that's, you know, that, but you can look at the Link or Heinz Field and, you know, extrapolate those or look at other stadiums. You know, an NFL stadiums always cost more than there's a reason for that. But you can look at other stadiums that are much more reasonably priced. So, yeah, it should have been evaluated.
All right. That's it for quarter number two. We've got lots more to talk about. Stick with us.
We all understand the importance of physical health. F45 State College takes the guesswork out. Designed to burn fat and build lean muscle, focusing on strength training, mobility, core work, and agility. With over 50 branded workouts and thousands of exercises in our library, you would never do the same workout twice. Improve your day-to-day lifestyle and make the current activities you already do much easier and more efficient. Whether you're a weekend warrior on the pickleball courts or golf course, or maybe it's just finding it easier to move and enjoy playing with your kids, F45 is for you. Regardless of age or current physical condition, F45 tailors the workout to you. Current and former athletes, teenagers to retirees, and everyone in between. Their team of certified coaches is there to guide you every step of the way.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante. He is Barry Fenchek, a very special guest. Remember that, very special. We're discussing the renovation decision that was made by the Board of Trustees. Full disclosure, vote was 26-2, approving the $700 million. Barry was one of the two, were you not?
Yeah, I was. The only one that voted against starting down this road with the $70 million, and one of two that voted against this. There were three abstentions, by the way, as well. The three other, and I believe I'm kind of rolling back through my thoughts on that. The other three were all alumni elected trustees. Not that that necessarily matters, but that's the case.
All right. Well, let's talk about now where we go with the board now approves this. But they put out a presentation, Barry, and you alluded to it a couple of the slides, where they compared, they named them repair, renovate, and replace. And they essentially say it nets out to, if you do repair of $140 million, ultimately you'll lose $655 million. I guess that's in comparison to renovating.
Actually, that would be basically in comparison to break even.
Okay.
What that says, over 30 years, and they weren't doing time value of money and those things we talk about in finance, but just in dollars per year of either gain or loss on the ICA, on the athletics balance income statement each year, that over 30 years, there would be a net accumulated losses of whatever that figure was. Was it $600 million?
Yeah.
And then the renovate would be basically break even. Okay, you know, accumulating $50 million over 30 years, which is, you know, basically break even, you know, on a $10 billion total revenue. And then the new stadium would be, what was it, $1 billion or so of total accumulated net cash flow.
Yeah, it lost $1.3 billion deficit with the replace. So let's start with renovate. This is where the decision's been made. Well, first of all, Barry, what are we getting for our $700 million?
Well, let's talk just a bit about that. The renovation is certainly focused on, and this isn't any secret, basically taking the west side of the stadium, those folks who are familiar, it's where the press box is, and essentially, I call it, you know, replating it. Right now, it's a large metal steel structure with the benches on it. And what this would do would be basically tear that down, and most of the seats would still be bench seating, but there would be a large number of club seats, right? Apparently something like what's in the south end zone now, as well as a new row of suites up kind of along, think of like press box row, right?
Right.
That will come down and it'll be a new press box with suites, you know, around it. Kind of like the other side, except the no press box in the middle on the other side, but similar to that in broad terms. Now, there will be some aspects that are addressed that will have some impact, I think some beneficial impact to the other areas of the stadium, right? If they get more more stairwells, you know, to make it get easier to get in and out, some more platform, if you will, in those sort of open corners of the stadium, I think, basically, so that they can put some more, you know, concession areas and things like that. Obviously, you know, updating some of the restroom facilities, which, you know, those of us who love the idea of going to the stadium and seeing the cow trough there, may not see as many of those moving forward. So there are some other features to that. But the big thing is that essentially turning the west side from a large area of bench seating into an area that's going to have a significant number of club seat setups, as well as some suites up there.
Now, in this study, in the slide presentation, it talks about increased revenues mm-hmm. with this renovation to pay $700 million. That's a lot.
That's a lot of money
to make up for. So was there a study on, you talked about more suites, more like club seating. Is there the demand for both of those?
Well, let's talk about that. Now, the fix the stadium up and maintain it option and build a new stadium option, that was basically just dismissed. About all we've seen as trustees is this bottom line number that says they're both bad, right? Without any real justification for that. I think that's where we're at. Now, the $700 million renovation option, if you look through there, and it basically says it'll break even, which is very unusual. You kind of put that in the back of your mind. $10 billion of revenue coming in over 30 years and $10 billion of expenditures going out over 30 years, and they just about exactly meet up. If you look at those, and there are certain assumptions made, right? And, you know, you've got to project things 30 years in the future, right? It's what finance folks call a pro forma, what other people call a wild guess, right? Depending on how thorough you are with how you do that work. If you look at the projections, and we can talk about some of these in more detail if we want to, but, you know, about revenue, how much can we make on selling the suites? How much can we make selling the club seats? How much can we, you know, where can other revenue streams come in? And what would the expenses be for different things? If we look at what Penn State put out there as those numbers that arrived at the, we're going to break even over 30 years. Now, where those numbers came from, you know, they were presented by Penn State. Who actually put them together? I don't know, right? But they were presented by Penn State's administrative folks. And if you actually look at those numbers, and it was very difficult to get any insight into what their numbers were and who was providing them. And to this day, we don't know some of that, despite repeated requests on my part, as well as others, where, you know, I've been told, you know, I get the letter from, you know, the board leadership that says, I don't need that information to make a decision. I don't need information on where these revenue projections are coming from to make a decision on the seven, but that's what it says. Okay. In any event, if we take all of their projections as they put them together for how much philanthropy we can raise, how much we can sell the club seats for, how much we can sell the suites for, all these other revenue streams that they have in the information they provided to us. And if our operations of intercollegiate athletics, right? The budget, the operating budget, continues as it has for the last 10 years, right? We would consider to say, okay, well, this is what we've been doing. This is what we should project moving forward. If that happens, we do not end up with a break-even scenario at the end of 30 years. We end up with a scenario where we are hundreds of millions of dollars in the red by the mid-2030s, within 10 years. And much, much more than that later. The reason it takes a while to, if you look at the projections, they show us, you know, building up some positive cash flows over the first several years, because that's when they're saying we'll raise most of the philanthropy that we project to raise, right? The stadium will be new. We'll get people donating money, like for a, to set up a license for a suite or something like that. So the projections are that that our balance will go up, and then over the rest of those 30 years will slowly decline and we'll end up at break even. Now, if you put into that, using all of their data, right, all of the data they provide, but just put into there, what have our operating costs for ICA done over the years? How much do they rise per year? Which is 6.5%. Over the last 10 years, they go up 6.5% a year. COVID was an oddball, right? But
yeah,
if you do that, we, for the next 6-7 years, we're still above water, largely because that's when they're saying all the philanthropy is coming in. But by 10 years down the road, we are hundreds of millions of dollars underwater, and it just gets worse from there. Now, that's using all of their numbers and our historical data of what our, how our athletics department's budgets have been running. And that's disconcerting to me. And I've raised the issue. I raised the issue in the meeting the other day, and it wasn't the first time. And my response from the administrative folks seemed to be that, gosh, that's a surprise. Moving on. But in any event, that's a real concern. That to me is the gist of the concern. And the bottom line is, if we don't get some fiscal control over the intercollegiate athletics, nothing's going to work well, right? And we don't do our football program, our athletics program, or our university any service by spending a lot of money and saying, yay, great, we're supportive, if in the long run it cripples us, right? And again, not to, I hope I didn't get too deep into the weeds with some of that, but the numbers are the numbers, and that's where we are.
Well,
so enjoy it while you can, because the next 5 years will be the best from a financial standpoint for Penn State athletics during this whole tenure, assuming they get the philanthropy that they expect. But after that, you know, in my opinion, looking at the numbers, it looks pretty rocky, which means, you know, we're not going to get to the point where we have $500 million of negative cash flow. We'd have to do something, but, you know, going and cutting sports or doing some of these other things that they mentioned, right, that we could do, that's not going to be nearly enough, right? Those are drops in the bucket compared to that level of deficit accumulating. It will, you know, require something drastic. Now, if we have, you know, Elon Musk puts us in his will, gets hit by a truck, yeah, that could happen, right? I mean, they've got levels of philanthropy they expect. But unless we had not just a Terry Pegula level donor, right, who's very generous to the universities, you know, and most of us know, we would need a caravan Terry Pegula level donors to make those numbers work out. And, you know, unless we get control over the athletic department, and we've seen no sign of that, it's not even a topic for discussion to date. So that's an issue.
Well, I understand the concern, and I'm probably going to get a little more into the weeds and ask the question on their slide presentation. One of the things it talks about where some of these revenues are coming from. First of all, I'll start with PA state funding. As we run out of time for this segment, it says $50 million from the state. Is that a confirmed number?
No, but there's an interesting story there. Some of it I can share, some I may not be able to. The answer to your question is no, that is absolutely not a concern.
Okay, I'll just do the yes or no right now as we run out of time, okay, and we can expand on it next segment. But there's also $85 million philanthropy / naming rights. How confident are you in that number?
What's that?
How confident are you in that $85 million?
Well, let me be honest. When I looked at our actual operating budget out of athletics, it kind of made nothing else really matter much, because if that is the elephant in the room. The validity of these assumptions on philanthropy and some of those other things we can talk about, and I have some ideas, but we'll get back to that.
All right, we're wrapping up the quarter number three. We'll go into detail quarter four. Stay tuned for that.
We all understand the importance of physical health. F45 State College takes the guesswork out. Designed to burn fat and build lean muscle, focusing on strength training, mobility, core work, and agility. With over 50 branded workouts and thousands of exercises in our library, you would never do the same workout twice. Improve your day-to-day lifestyle and make the current activities you already do much easier and more efficient. Whether you're a weekend warrior on the pickleball courts or golf course, or maybe it's just finding it easier to move and enjoy playing with your kids, F45 is for you. Regardless of age or current physical condition, F45 tailors the workout to you. Current and former athletes, teenagers to retirees, and everyone in between. Their team of certified coaches is there to guide you every step of the way.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. He is Barry Fenchak from the Penn State Board of Trustees. I'm Jim Galante. We finished up quarter number three. The university presented to the board and had some slides where they put some numbers out that make it appear a no-brainer, this renovation. This is the way to go compared to minor repairs or a new stadium. But part of it is based on revenues that they would get. The two numbers I was asking you about when we finished up last segment, Barry, was there's $50 million labeled as Pennsylvania state funding, and the other one was $85 million from philanthropy and naming rights. How confident are we in those two numbers, which combine to be, I'm no math major, but $135 million?
Yeah, as we've talked really briefly, there's certainly been nothing official on any state money. And if someone had the ear of Josh Shapiro or folks down in Harrisburg, they might get a better feel for that. To the best of my knowledge, there have been no discussions on that. I would say that it has been said by folks who are in leadership positions that there have been no discussions on that. Does that mean there haven't been discussions? You usually don't see things like that floating around unless somebody's been talking to somebody, right? Even if it's out in the lobby. But it's certainly nothing official. The philanthropy, as you know, as we've talked about this and I've written about it in the past, you know, our philanthropy at Penn State is sucking exhaust fumes relative to our peers and people who shouldn't even be our peers, people who we should be well above. And that's been an ongoing issue for years. Now, that's not saying that the folks working in that area aren't efforting, right? But the results are, relative to our peers, dismal. They are, regardless of how hard people are working to try and fix that. So it's a little, it'd be hard to be overly optimistic. Now, as I said before, when I took a look at this, I just assumed everything that Penn State presented as far as how much philanthropy they could raise, they would, right? But that's certainly an unknown. Hopefully, it's a lot more. But one of the things that really was disconcerting to me, and I brought this up at the beginning of the meeting before we voted on this, is there was in the presentation, it was stated by Penn State, whoever put the presentation together, that we wouldn't start raising philanthropy until after the board approved the project. And I thought, three initials. Why not? Because everyone else does that. I mean, and I could just segue to briefly, Nebraska wants to do a very similar project to Penn State. Now their price tag is $450, right? And they said, well, we're gonna go out and raise money. And when we raise $250 million or more, then we'll consider moving forward with it. If we don't raise that much, we'll scale it back. Well, they came up a little. As of now, at least, I know they're a little short of that 250. I don't know the exact number. Well, they scaled back the number. They scaled back the size of the project to match. They're still going to have to put some of their own money into it, but most of it will still be philanthropy. And they did that because the philanthropy money wasn't quite what they were hoping for. And they're very concerned about this revenue sharing bit with athletes, right, affecting their budget.
Yes.
But that's what they did. We say, let's borrow $700 million and, we'll raise some philanthropy money. Honestly, a much lower figure than what other folks actually do raise, but we won't start trying to raise it until we approve it. Well, if you started to raise it now, that would be better, wouldn't it? The problem might be if you try to raise it now and that money's not flowing in, it forces people to say, hey, wait a minute, we may not have all that money. Now, again, I hope we do. I hope we generate that type of revenue and more, that type of philanthropy. But to not even start doing, and I brought this up with many projects at ICA over my time on the board. Don't tell me what you're going to raise, right? Because oftentimes we'll get told, and it'll be a small amount, number one, And then we won't get there many times. We'll maybe say, well, we've got pledges. When somebody dies, we'll get more or what have you. Let's raise the money first and see if we can get it and then decide whether or not it makes sense to assume we're going to get the money in order to justify the project.
Has anyone given you a reason why they're waiting?
No, I can't. I you know, I mean, could you part? I when I brought this up before, and I've said, look, it's a lot easier to go ask somebody for a check when you're saying your check can help us build this, right? As opposed to we built this and we've got a huge mortgage. Would you please pay our mortgage for us? I just think that if I'm raising money, I want to walk into that guy or gal's office, right, who has a big fat checkbook and say, show them you can do this for us and we need you to do this for us. Everybody else does that, right? I mean, everybody else does. I mean, I should say, our peers overwhelmingly go out there and they raise money and they may not get it all, right? But they're saying, okay, we're doing pretty well. Let's put the shovel in the ground. We don't. We put the shovel in the ground, borrow the money, and then say, well, we'll go get some money. And it hasn't worked very well. It has not worked very well.
I want to go back to something we mentioned a little bit. I want to talk about, you know, who's going to benefit from this. Let's start with the people buying the suites and the club type seats. Has a study been done to see, is there a demand for those things, Barry?
There would appear to be, boy, there's a lot of things to touch on. So I think there is a backlog of folks who have expressed interest in suites. So if we keep that to a reasonable number, I think there's a pretty good chance. And my assumption was that we'll sell everything out because that was Penn State's assumption. So I think that's a reasonable thing to do. The club seats are very interesting. We would go from having about 3,000 club seats to about 10, which I think there's only one school in the country that has more than that. And that's Arkansas. And that's because their stadium is kind of odd in how it's configured. And so, but that's way more club seats than anybody else has, I think, except for Arkansas. But our club seats now, the annual cost for the seat license there, if you take out a long-term lease, is around $1,100 a year, I think. The projections are for these club seats to carry a seat license fee that is several multiples higher than that. So given that our peers don't inventory nearly that many club seats and do it at a much more competitive price, I'm not as confident about that. Again, my assumption was, okay, they tell us we can do it, you know, that there will be demand for it. But it's tough to say, okay, we got 3,000 we're selling now, but we feel really confident we can sell 10. Again, I hope so, certainly. We all hope so. But that's one that I would be a little more concerned about. And then, of course, there's also, you know, a lot of that revenue, too, is raising, obviously, ticket prices go up, but this is raising them even more for everybody else, and having an additional fee being attached to everybody's season tickets, not a large fee, but a fee attached to everybody's season tickets as supposedly to go to a fund to help, you know, fund the renovations. I mean, this all goes into the same pot, but so there'll be revenue from that. Now, we're probably running short on time, but there are some other, you know, revenue projections in there that are much less significant, which we could talk about.
Well, the couple things with that, and I was going to ask, what about, you know, the guy who's in the bleacher seats, is he going to have to pay more money because of this renovation? Because that's what affects, you know, the 90% of the folks who aren't in premium seating. So their costs will go up. Would you also, with the suites, would that not be an opportunity where if there's people that, yes, there is the demand, would that not be a place to get the money before the construction, get the commitment?
There's a lot of ways to do that, right? I mean, one of the big parts of the projected philanthropy is, I think, when people would pay a one-time fee.
Yes.
You know, for a seat or what
personal happens. Seat license or something to that effect.
Right. They're calling that philanthropy.
Yeah.
Right. Which, you know, okay. How do we couch that definition? Most of us think of philanthropy as somebody writes out a check and says, "Here you go," as opposed to, "Yeah, I'll pay that license so that I can have this thing." Right. The money comes into our pockets. Okay. We don't really care, but it is a little different in the way that it's couched. You know, some people might say, you know, again, say that's not really indicative of raising money through philanthropy. That's selling something. Again, the money's money. Money's fungible. We just want it.
Well, all of college sports has been doing that kind of thing for years, Barry. Now, we do have a couple minutes left. I want to just give you this forum, this place. You're talking, obviously, to Penn State fans. A lot of our listeners, they attend games. They're Penn Staters. They have kids at Penn State. I'm giving you the last couple minutes to what's the message you want to give them?
Well, you know, I think, you know, if I put on like my fan hat, right, and I'm a fan, you know that, right? You know, it's nice. It's, you know, and I think it will be pretty. It'll be convenient. There'll be some nice features. But there's also some concerns, right, about fans who will be displaced, right? The lunch bucket fans that may be displaced, parking for lunch bucket fans where they might be pushed back because if you sell premium seats, that also means more and more of the parking area becomes premium parking. So there are some concerns there. I think overall, fans, you know, a couple of years from now, when the dust settles, will say, yeah, this is a very nice stadium. I expect that to happen. As a trustee, I don't have the liberty and the freedom to say I'm going to look at this like when I'm wearing my fan hat. Right? I have to look at it more from a stewardship standpoint. It's obviously things we talked about. Very, very concerning. But as I said, for the fans, you know, enjoy it over the next, 10 years. I think it will be a state and everybody will be talking about it, right? They'll be on and on. And I certainly expect that to be the case. So there's our silver lining for today as the sun comes out.
Well, you know, putting on my fan hat and, you know, I would look forward to the changes that are being made that it would make the game experience better. But as a business person, I wonder, you know, my sports in general throughout the country have been going down. Attendance has been going down. Televisions are getting better. Prices going up makes it, you know, a more of a tough sell. Mm-hmm. At Beaver Stadium, you still have, it's still a, you know, a bucket list type item for people to go to a game at Beaver Stadium, especially the whiteout. And I'm just not sure on the business side of the proposition that it makes sense. We're still getting right now on those cold bleacher seats, we're getting over 100,000 people showing up willingly, you know, so I'm finding it difficult to understand the financial justification, Barry.
Do we have 1 minute?
Sure. 30 seconds.
Well, one of the first things when I first met, you know, our new athletic leadership, I said, really, you know, what happened over the last regime is we really lost contact with doing the little things right. And it's really important here at Penn State. It's a different environment than going to a Steeler game. And doing the little things right, having people in the stadium and you know, the ushers who know what they're doing and the friendly and parking staff that's efficient. And we really got away from that under the previous administration. And I really was hoping, and I'm not giving up hope, that the new administration would understand that what it really is all about. And I hope we do that.
Very good. Thank you so much for being on, Barry. A lot of great information. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
We all understand the importance of physical health. F45 State College takes the guesswork out. Designed to burn fat and build lean muscle, focusing on strength training, mobility, core work, and agility. With over 50 branded workouts and thousands of exercises in our library, you would never do the same workout twice. Improve your day-to-day lifestyle and make the current activities you already do much easier and more efficient. Whether you're a weekend warrior on the pickleball courts or golf course, or maybe it's just finding it easier to move and enjoy playing with your kids, F45 is for you. Regardless of age or current physical condition, F45 tailors the workout to you. Current and former athletes, teenagers to retirees, and everyone in between. Their team of certified coaches is there to guide you every step of the way.